Hi everyone, Samian here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Eirik the Hermit, and here is what he's got to say. Hi Sandman, I want to discuss the topic of soft sperm jacking versus hard sperm jacking. Soft sperm jacking is all about using deceit to get a man to bust a nut in her. Hard sperm jacking, on the other hand, is a surreptitious extraction of baby juice from the condom post-nuts. I strongly hold that pregnancy through deceit is just as bad and evil as outright sperm theft. Both constitute a violation of trust, and no self-respecting man should trust such a woman ever again, nor should he submit to any of her further demands. The utter idiocy of a man who nuts in a woman and makes her pregnant does not somehow compensate her for the heinous act of soft sperm jacking. The two of them are not equal actors. Obviously, he never would have done it unless he trusted her fully. The man is certainly not morally obligated to man up in the way that society tries to coax men into doing today. In today's society, women have reproductive freedoms, while men do not. That said, I am all for ridicule of a man when he does absolutely stupid things. But we should still support him against the further evil perpetrated against him by the gynocentric state, i.e. child support, after the event. Kind regards, Eirik the Hermit. Well, Eirik, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. Looks like this time I'm going to pronounce your name correctly. With regards to soft sperm jacking, that's a technique women will try on you if they think you're stupid. Deceit comes in many forms, including shaming language. I had one woman tell me that I was a coward because I didn't want to do the old in and out in an unprotected way. My subconscious has this tendency to project a sort of Mr. Magoo or Inspector Gadget personality onto people. It makes many of them think that I was born yesterday, and the benefit of that is that it reveals their deception more easily. Sometimes the best way to figure out a woman's intentions is to lure her into a situation that seems almost too good to be true. But then when you do the old rug pull, they had no idea it would ever happen. That woman shaming me had baby rabies and wanted my baby batter pronto. Another one also with cooch rabies pretended to be on the pill by putting her pill wheel on the dresser to make sure she doesn't miss a day so that I could clearly see it. I didn't fall for her tricks either. Who knows how many guys they tried the same thing on before unsuccessfully is anyone's guess. But that second one certainly tried as she smelled like a cheese factory full of gonad juice down there. Besides shame and projecting the idea that they're on the pill, what are some other ways that women might try and use soft sperm jacking to work? Maybe not using enough lube down there and intentionally staying dry as a desert so that the rubber breaks. Maybe putting it on incorrectly with just a little bit too much air at the tip. She says she's putting it on and doing you a favor to make the experience easier for you. But what she really hopes is that it bursts and releases a baby party in her. I'll discuss more in a moment. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, the Red Pill Ring. The Freemasons have their own rings, and now so do we. When another MGTOW sees your gold, silver, or bronze ring, he's going to know exactly what it means, and that both of you have the same value system. Now all we have to do is make a secret handshake. Please visit redpillring.com today to get your precious, precious ring. Do it fast before Gollum with boobs stops you. Anyways, now back to women trying to sperm jack you while pretending that they aren't trying to do that clown world show. Soft sperm jacking is worse because it's covert. You don't really know what her intentions are, and if she's in her mid-30s, then there's a good chance she's trying to catch the last train out to baby town. If she gets pregnant, then she has the plausible deniability that it happened because the pill failed, which does happen from time to time, or the rubber failed if she was too dry or that air pocket made it burst. Or as she shames you into doing it in an unprotected way, she will say you didn't have to do it, even though she employed psychological warfare against you. Again, if you have any other covert ways that women try and get men to knock them up and get them preggers, please share them in the description. As for the more overt and hard sperm jacking techniques, most guys enjoy getting BJs, and I think that's dangerous. They're often busting a nut all over her braces, and then she gets some of your super seed in her mouth. She can then run off to the bathroom pretending to gag on your gonad juice, that your taste is just too damn strong, that it's making her choke. But in reality, she's off rubbing your man butter into her flesh folds, obviously without telling you. You're all satisfied and dozing off in bed while Jizmerelda is using a jerry-rigged turkey baster on your jizz, and you have zero idea. Another way she can do that to you is by taking your used rubber and squeezing your seed into her after you use it. She might take it from you and say she's doing you a favor and throwing it out. Or you throw it out into the trash and she fishes it out when you're finished trying to use it that way. That's why you never leave your juices unattended. I'll always wrap my rubbers in Kleenex and then flush them down the toilet with the same urgency of a criminal flushing contraband down as the cops come in. You can go one step further and do what the great Tom Likas used to do. He would leave his rubbers unattended, but he would cover them with the hottest of hot sauces so that if she tried squeezing the contents into her cooch, she would scream out in pain. And then he would know what their real intentions were and how deceptive they were. Hard sperm jacking is outright theft, but it won't be honored in a court of law. But soft sperm jacking leaves no evidence, and just a bunch of he said, she said behind. I think that subconsciously I always knew the risk of pregnancy was super high. So I always used a rubber and always made sure to flush it down, and I only ever released my boys in a rubber or in a woman's mouth 2 or 3 dozen times in my life. But Eirik, to answer the question that you had with regards to which of these two strategies are morally reprehensible, I think that the hard one is worse, because you have no idea what she's doing. At least the woman that tried to shame the sperm out of me gave me a pseudo-choice. Also remember that when your boys leave your body, the law considers them to no longer be in your possession. And if you give them to her, it's like giving her a gift. You can't make this stuff up. It's so crazy the way the courts see this situation. You can't sue her even if you catch her. In one court in Chicago, a judge said that ejaculation was a gift of the plaintiff, after a woman used his to basically get pregnant. One guy in one forum says that the only way to ensure that she doesn't use a turkey baster on her cooch, after you fill her mouth with gifts, so to speak, is for her to give you a snowball, returning your gift, of course. Yeah, in that case, she might as well keep it. You gotta be careful out there, the wealthier you are, especially if you're good looking. That's what happened to that doctor in Chicago. Remember that women can't often land a rich Chad, and instead they'll try and get the consolation prize, which is a baby and child support from you. Plus, remember that some guys might actually settle down with a woman if she gets accidentally pregnant. That's her version of a Hail Mary pass, and you can't press charges for stolen property. For me, there was always a psychological thing in the background preventing me from busting a nut in a babe. I always kind of felt that the moment I had a kid in my life, it would be over. Deep down, I knew that I wouldn't be able to do what I wanted to do anymore and would have to make someone else my priority. If I had had kids, I wouldn't have been able to take care of my health or figure out my skin issues. Another way that women try to take your boys is by punching tiny holes in the prophylactics. So make sure to bring your own, always. I think that's all I got to say on this topic. As for the rest, I want to give everyone a quick health and life update. From the middle of October to the end of April, I'll try to limit how much I go outside, and have to live in the equivalent of a one-size room with a humidifier, with a door closed on it the whole time to make sure that the moisture stays in. If I leave the room for a few minutes, sure, it's warm in my other spaces, but getting back to the room with the humidity feels as though a blanket is being wrapped around my body, and it allows my skin to breathe. The reason I'm doing this is because I have a literal allergy to cold weather, and my skin grows out of control in a few parts if it's exposed to it, and it's triggered by temperature and humidity. I've changed all the lifestyle things I can to help it, including diet, exercise, sleep, and stress for the most part. But I can't control the climate outside, so the goal is to become a snowbird in the next few years after the next Bitcoin run is done. I'll live in Toronto from May until the middle of October each year and then spend the rest of the time in Texas, Arizona, Vegas, or Florida, depending on the weather and which place works the best for me. I'm not there yet, but if you're 50 and Canadian, you can take advantage of the Snowbird Act. And if you keep residences in both the United States and Canada, you can spend up to 8 months a year in America, if you're Canadian. I only need about 6 or 7 months, but right now Canadian citizens are only allowed to stay in America for 6 months a year. The problem with the cold is that the heating is forced air heating, and that's causing my problem. But it's no better than in a place like Europe, because one way that people lived in Europe in the days before humidifiers was to put wet towels over their radiating heaters to ensure that there was always moisture in the air. I empty an entire gallon or 4 liters of water into the air all day, and the humidifier runs night and day for 6 months. I even have a backup unit in case it dies and there's a foot of snow outside. And during the winter, the reduced amount of sunlight also ends up being a problem. Toronto costs just as much as LA or Miami with regards to the cost of living, but without the good weather. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Eirik the Hermit for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button, the way that women will never let you smash them again after you taint your condom with sriracha sauce. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women, then try and steal your seed while claiming that you just gave them a gift away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.